Surreptitiously. Is that the word?
It is.
Is it really?
Yeah, yeah.
Surreptitiously?
Yeah.
Come on, son.
How's that? Is that
sound? I should be on freaking countdown.
It's up for grabs now! Thomas! Right at the end!
Aguero! I swear you'll never see anything like this ever again! So watch it! Drink it in!
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to
the final... I love that! What are you doing?
Yeah, the intro's okay. I'm not as proud of it as others, but there's a couple of reasons. The Stuart commentary is very difficult to get a clean audio of. And then I always forget that Tyler goes so crazy about Aguero that he crackles. That's not like the sound. That's him screaming into his
really?
Mic. Yeah,
oh,
there isn't a clean audio of the end of it because he's popping his own mic.
I did wonder. Yeah.
So those little things. But that was a blind intro for Ad there as to our new theme tune.
That was great. Season. Sorry, I interrupted your very
That's
smooth
okay.
intro, mate.
We've got season six now. Split up. So welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the final countdown, a podcast looking back at great finals within the game of football. I am Lewis, here with my co-host Adam.
Hello there.
And we are continuing our new series with a review and look back at the final days of a particular season.
Final days.
So that was erotic for ASMR purposes. I'm going to clip that. to keep in the bank, the audio bank of good commentary. Moving swiftly on from wherever this is going. We're just going to be moving chronologically from Ad's great report from the 77-78 season. Mm. And we are continuing, unsurprisingly, with the next season, 78-79 in the English, not Premiership, as it would be known 25 years later.
In 2003, apparently.
That's right. Do you remember when ITV did their version of Match of the Day when they won the rights? I think that was the Premiership.
The match. No, oh, no, then, no. Yeah, sorry, I'm thinking way back.
Oh, I don't know that reference, yeah.
They won it off BBC, probably late 80s, 90s, right, okay. For a couple of seasons, they called it The Match.
Oh, no.
It was bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
In Nycam stereo for the first time, The Match features Leeds United and Manchester City.
Well, I remember, I think it got a lot of hate in the early 2000s, 2003 or whenever it was, when ITV did it. But I just remember thinking, oh, this is a bit different. But then I was glad when it went back to Match of the Day. Just without that theme tune, what is, you know,
ITV football? Always come across like they're trying too hard.
Yeah, it is that. It's that needy X, isn't
it? It's
like,
weird.
I know things didn't work out last time, but honestly, I have changed. I can do better. It's like, come on, ITV, I'm a BBC man now.
I've always been a BBC man.
I've always been a BBC man. But back to the actual football. Although I did think we are back to our roots with nostalgia here.
We are fully
back in the,
that's right.
the driver's seat of nostalgia.
Well, I was just thinking, just there, because I will bring this up, because it will probably never come up again. Do you remember a presenter called Elton Wellesby?
No, but what a great name. Elton Wellesby.
In my head, Elton Wellesby looks like Kevin Keegan with short hair.
Okay.
Now, he was the presenter on The Match.
Right.
That I just mentioned. Yeah. So if any listener remembers Elton Wells, I don't know if I've just made that name up.
I mean, that's a pretty random pull if you have just...
When I said The Match, in my head I was like Elton Wellesby.
Somewhere buried deep in
I've
your
I've not thought about that name in 30 years.
Oh, Elton Wellesby, if you're out there and you fancy coming on the pod and we can talk about your experience on The Match,
so he was probably he was probably a young presenter in this year.
Yeah.
Probably ready to go on The Match.
Full of hope and optimism, and then the BBC just came back and said, no, thank you, that's my ball, I'm taking it back.
That's right.
But we are here to talk about the final days of the 78-79 season. So a very quick recap of last week's pod is that essentially Brian Clough's Nottingham Forest were the newly promoted team that went on to win the league. A truly remarkable achievement that, we're never going to see again. But so Forest had managed to dethrone Liverpool, but Liverpool were not happy about this.
Well, that's important as well, isn't it? Is not only did they get promoted and win the league, they won the league from two-time champions Liverpool.
Yeah, with Bob Paisley's Liverpool
in
start.
In a period of
dynasty.
Absolute dominance. Like
exactly.
The odds on that happening would have... made you a very rich man if you'd bet on it.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, that's our sports almanac, isn't it? It's our Back to the Future. We'd go back to 78 and 77, 78 and just bet on Forest winning the league.
That's right.
Gray's Sports Almanac.
But having lost the league to Forest the year before, Liverpool were determined to try and reclaim their crown. So this is the actual final days of the 78-79, a little bit like yours. Mm. There's not a huge amount of drama. I know that we had the 0-0 draw that meant that Liverpool didn't win the league.
Yeah, yeah.
But as we discussed last week, the kind of games were spread across a few days.
Yeah, weird. Yeah,
yeah. You don't quite have the climactic Aguero type end of season, I mean, that we'll get to.
I think we'll have maybe three or four where the actual final day is in some way pivotal.
Yeah, sure. And that won't always be about the champions. That might be about who gets relegated. But again, this season, the teams that were relegated weeks before the end of the season.
Right, wow.
So there wasn't any drama in who was going down either. But on the 8th of May, 1979, Liverpool would beat Aston Villa 3-0 at Anfield in their final home game of the season to clinch the First Division title. So right. Liverpool do get
back
their crown
top.
Back. Yeah, they basically go, come on. Well done. It's basically PBC to ITV.
Yeah.
They said, oh, well done, Forest. You've had yours. We'll take it back, thank you.
What happened with Forest?
So, we'll talk about that a little bit,
okay.
But it was a routine win for Liverpool to cement their incredible comeback, and they would finish unbeaten at home this season, having scored 51 and conceded just 4 goals at home. So,
wow.
Yeah, Anfield was a true bastion of defence. 10 days later, second would play third for the final European Cup place, so this is the final day of this season. So champions had already been decided, but it was second v third. And this was Nottingham Forest taking on West Bromwich Albion.
Oh, go on, Forest.
So Everton had been right up there as well, you'd be pleased to know, until the final 10 league games of the season when they dropped off a cliff.
Bob Latchford get injured?
More than likely.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
But yeah, Everton had dropped off a cliff with their form, and so basically it became a three-horse race between West Bromwich Albion, Forest and Liverpool for the title.
Wow.
Liverpool clinched it with 10 days before the end of the season, but Forest were taking on West Bromwich Albion, and Forest would win 1-0 at the Hawthorns to pip them and take them into second place, which was qualification. Back then, there wasn't a top four for European qualification,
yeah.
Or at least the European Cup. You could get into the UEFA Cup, but the European Cup was the top two, and Forest rightly took their place as second place.
Fair play.
Liverpool would finish 8 points clear of Forest, and again, it's 2 points for a win at this point, so effectively like a 12-point lead in today's money. Their points tally of 68 was a record under the 2 points for a win system. So Paisley had come back to win this with aplomb.
Yeah.
Liverpool really, I think they took it personally. It's that Michael Jordan thing. Yeah, they took it personally.
It's a bit embarrassing, wasn't it? Really. For them, it would have been embarrassing.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Not just to lose the title, but like you say, to a newly promoted team.
Yeah.
But Forest proving that they weren't just a flash
in the
pan.
Well, that's quite impressive, isn't it? Yeah, because Leicester didn't have, in the modern day, the only modern day equivalent we have, really, which is Leicester winning in 2016. They went to pieces the following year, didn't they? They got distracted by... distracted by Europe, but their squad couldn't cope.
Exactly,
with Europe,
yeah, especially really. When they had lost Mahrez and Drinkwater and people like that.
Danny Drinkwater.
Kante. Yeah. I think those are the three big losses that Leicester team...
You know who didn't go, mate?
Jamie Vardy.
Yes,
still absolutely shit house in the crowd in the championship. You got to love it.
He loves it.
So Ray Clements would keep 28 clean sheets this season and saw, as I said, Liverpool... concede only 4 goals at home. So the final day of the season, the final days of the season were really about who would get second place. Relegation had already been tied up. The champions had already been crowned as Liverpool. But looking at the season as a whole, so the reigning champs Nottingham Forest would beat FA Cup holders Ipswich Town 5-0 in the Charity Shield at Wembley. So you'd mentioned about Ipswich winning the FA Cup.
Sir Bob.
That's right. And so, yeah, Ipswich had done really well to win that, but unfortunately Charity Shield was then getting blown away by Forest.
Yeah.
So Forest starting as they mean to go on, carrying on their great form.
Charity Shield, it's a nothing, right?
It is a nothing.
It doesn't symbolise anything, really.
No, and I think it's used to back up a narrative later on in the season.
Yeah.
So Arsenal...
That's a very good point. Yeah.
Arsenal beat Man City in the Charity Shield this year.
I'll
edit this out if it isn't true, but I'm pretty certain Arsenal beat them, and everyone's like, oh, who knows? And I think now, because Arsenal just beat Man City in the league, you can go, well, we knew early on that Arsenal had what it... But
it's just weird, isn't it?
Lost,
it just doesn't work that way, does it? Because it's the most... The teams aren't not up for, as in they're not... You know, it's essentially a pre-season game, really, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they're not motoring at all. It's a very strange game, the Charity Shield, because it doesn't mean anything, and yet... in some way symbolises the start of the season. It's a bit weird.
I mean, last season, Liverpool beat Man City. Nunes scored, Haaland didn't score, and that was the narrative people took from it. They were like, oh, maybe Liverpool
didn't
aren't
last
really...
long, did it?
Exactly, yeah. Liverpool and Nunes had the season to forget, and Haaland and City went and won the treble, so it isn't really indicative of anything.
Yeah.
But Liverpool would start this season ferociously, taking 21 points from 22. scoring 35 goals and conceding just 4 in 11 matches into the season. So Liverpool's star with absolute just ferocity, and by all reports, they really took it personally and they were determined to show everyone, look, we're Liverpool. We don't get dethroned twice in a row. We don't get our pants pulled down for a second year. But 21 points in 22 from there.
So this would have, you might not know this, but this would have been kind of, Dalglish would have been there by now?
Yes, yeah.
And then some of the old guard, Emlyn Hughes.
Emlyn Hughes, I think he has one or two more seasons. Phil Thompson, yeah, big player.
Sooners there, yeah?
Hanson, Sooners.
Right.
Yeah, so obviously Ray Clements, like this was a star-studded team.
But not Rush.
No, too early for Rush. Too early for Rush. The only team, and you'll like this, however, to bloody Liverpool's noses was a first win against their City rivals in 7 years. It was Everton.
Go on.
Everton would end that dominance of the first 11 matches.
Goodison.
Yeah, that's right.
They couldn't lose it.
That's right. So yeah, beating them 1-0. So Everton.
Stop it.
Who also had started the season really strongly in the clash, that Merseyside derby, for the first time in 7 years, which again shows the dominance of Liverpool, not just nationally, but regionally as well. But we will start to see this a bit more with Everton becoming genuine title contenders. We're kind of at the start of Everton starting to rise to the top now.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be a few years until they were genuinely in the mix.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, even last week with Bob Latchford getting the top goal scorer, I didn't realise Everton were kind of a main team at that point.
No, and they are this season until, like I say, about 10 games before the end. Yeah. For, you know, three quarters of the season, Everton are right up there with West Brom, Forest and Liverpool, and Everton are top for a couple of games as well, which is amazing.
Go on,
the
boys.
But yeah, they're not quite the finished article yet. So Forest, however, and you mentioned this on your pod last week, Forest would remain unbeaten throughout the first half of the season as well. So there were a lot of teams that were kind of vying for the title early on, despite Liverpool's great form. Their 42-match unbeaten run would come to the end. Would come to an end though. So you mentioned they were 25 games unbeaten last season. Yeah. That obviously carries on into this season. I mean, 42 games, obviously across two seasons, unbeaten is a remarkable.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
remarkable. Is it the Invincibles beat that then? They must have, for it to be made such a big deal.
Yeah, I want to say they got 45, maybe.
You know, finish that, don't you, mate?
Oh, yeah, mate. Remember the name, Wayne Rooney. Incredible stuff.
Rooney, instant control. His chances. Oh, brilliant goal! A brilliant goal! Remember the name, Wayne Rooney.
So their 42-match unbeaten run will come to an end. The hands of Liverpool with a 2-0 win at Anfield. There's prior, we'll talk about this, but there was a reason for Forest to think that they could beat Liverpool, not just because they'd won the season beforehand, but they'd also beaten Liverpool this season, but we'll talk about more of that at the end, but not in the league.
Right.
So advantage to Liverpool, where Everton were running Liverpool closest come the end of January. So halfway through the season, Everton were, I think, vying with Liverpool. I think they're only 2 points behind a lot of the time. And obviously, depending on matches played, they would take the top of the league, and then games in hand, Liverpool would peg them back.
Right.
But it was West Bromwich Albion that would also move ahead of Liverpool. So at one point, Liverpool were third, but that was down to matches played. But showing that Everton, West Brom, Forest, Liverpool, was like a four-horse race.
They weren't
race.
Running away with it. Basically.
No, not at all.
Even though they won it by 12, well, not 12 points, but effectively 12 points. They didn't run away with it.
Yeah, exactly. So it comes around to Easter, and Liverpool managed to take a 4-point lead with the same games played over Everton, and they look unstoppable in reclaiming their title. Forest have their second game against them, a chance to peg them back and try and pull them back into an actual race, but a 0-0 draw keeps them at bay. So again, Forest not disgracing themselves. Only two seasons into the league. They'd obviously won it last season. They're the real deal. But April would see Chelsea and Birmingham relegated. So coming towards the end of this season. Yeah, Chelsea and Birmingham would be relegated with a whimper. QPR would join them at the end of the month. So not much jeopardy in the relegation race with QPR, Chelsea, Birmingham all getting relegated with about 3 weeks to go.
Right.
So yeah, it was kind of a bit of a damp squib really. They were very poor. A lot of heavy losses in there as well.
Right.
Unfortunately, though, along with those teams playing poorly, Everton's form would drop off a cliff and Forest would start to regain momentum and overtake them for third place. So Forest were kind of the fourth team in this four-horse race before Everton decided to capitulate. And then, as I said at the start, Nottingham Forest would eventually pip West Bromwich Albion to second place in the league, beating them 1-0 at the Hawthorns. Forest would finish 8 points behind champions Liverpool, one ahead of Albion, who are themselves 8 points ahead of fourth place Everton.
Wow.
So it's like a 16-point drop-off between Everton being top of the league in January to finishing fourth place. So, yeah, they
they've done a Tottenham there, mate.
That's right. Yeah, they've Spursed it up.
Spursed a bit Spursy.
But as described, the season would end with Bob Paisley guiding Liverpool to their third league title in four seasons, highest record points total of 68, best home record of 40 points from 21 games, and the highest goals scored to conceded ratio, so goal difference, of plus 69. Nice. Bob Paisley doing it for the Bants.
Stop there, lads.
Yeah, no more. Gaffer, we got three games left. I want 0-0 draws.
Nice.
So with Liverpool reclaiming their title and the season ending with not as much drama, but certainly a kind of a return to expected form, we will go on to our significant others.
Oh, and there it is. The crazy gang have beaten the Culture Club.
So, significant others, as we described, or as you described last week, Addit, we're looking at other things around the season as well.
Yep.
Things worth mentioning. So, after a very disappointing league campaign, Arsenal, who was still a big club back then,
they were.
Would beat Man United 3-2 in the FA Cup final.
Yes,
which
they did.
Was our first ever podcast.
It was.
So, for those of you that would like to know what happened in the Alan Sunderland FA Cup final. So it was 3-2 to Arsenal, and it was our first ever podcast. So scroll all the way down the feed to episode one.
That's
and
right.
A very young and enthusiastic pairing of me and Adam going into our first ever podcast. So
iconic commentary in that game.
That's right, yeah.
From our Motti.
That's right. So I think we used that in our original intro
as well.
We did,
yeah.
So, Arsenal will be crowned FA Cup champions, and they would obviously take part in the Charity Shield, the real game of the season. That's
yeah,
it,
yeah.
The following season. But on to Forest. So part of the reason we spoke about this last week's report, where maybe Liverpool, who won the European Cup that last previous season, had maybe, and we were talking about with Leicester, struggled on, you know, to compete on both fronts, even though they finished second, maybe that's the thing that gave Forest the edge. I think the reverse could be true. So Forest would win their first ever European Cup this season.
Oh yeah, of course they did.
Beating Malmo in the final. So I mentioned that they had already reason to believe they could beat Liverpool, and that was because they bested rivals Liverpool in the first round of the European Cup. So none of the seeding malarkey.
No way.
You could draw, you know, champions, and you could draw on the same domestic league. It didn't matter. It was a completely random draw. Whereas nowadays, obviously, that they do their best to protect big teams so they don't meet till the quarters, the semis, etc. But in the first round, which was a two-legged affair, Nottingham Forest would win 2-0 on aggregate. So they won 2-0 at the Forest ground, and then they would draw 0-0 at Anfield. And there's a great little bit of information here. So Forest, Gary Birtles, I don't know if that name
means
anything
to you. Yes, it does. Remember them from sticker books?
There you go. So Gary Birtles remembers it well. And this is a quote
from him. He looked a bit like Gerry Adams from Sinn Féin.
That's a great pull.
Sorry, Gary. It's just what I remember about your sticker.
That'll be unfortunate, wouldn't it? Walking around certain places. I'm Gary Birtles. You've made up that name, mate. There's no Birtles around here.
Oh, dear.
But Gary Birtles, and this is a quote from him, talking about his victory at the Forest ground. So after he'd scored, Gary Birtles scored the opener. After I'd scored, Phil Thompson told me that a single goal wouldn't be enough to take to Anfield. So when we scored again, cocky young thing that I was, I went up to him and said, "Will two be enough then?" He was speechless.
Shut it, Phil.
It's great. I love that from Gary Birtles, giving it with both barrels.
That is great.
And it would prove to be enough. So Nottingham Forest would win their first European Cup. So again, they got promoted the season before, won the league, and then the following season they would win European Cup.
Is this Trevor Francis?
So,
right.
Here we go. Trevor Francis, who passed away recently.
He did,
sadly.
Last year, yeah.
But I'm sure that most of you would have seen in the newspapers, he was famous because he was the first £1 million player, which obviously in the era of £200 million players
was
seems
that
quaint.
In Britain or worldwide?
That was worldwide.
Because I imagine Britain probably headed the transfer market.
Yeah,
back
I think Britain and Italy would have been...
Right, so first £1 million man, right.
That's right, so Trevor Francis, the first £1 million player, he joins Nottingham Forest from Birmingham, who obviously got relegated this season as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've got to be thinking, Trevor Francis is like... He's done well there. He would score the only goal of the final to win Nottingham Forest their first ever European Cup.
Robertson, the first time we've seen them attack them, and there's Francis! Well, that's what I wanted to see Robertson do! And Trevor Francis, the £1 million man, puts his name on the score sheet and returns a great deal of the check. Robertson, the first time he's attacked them, used his pace, a fine cross, and in comes Francis to break the deadlock.
So it pays for itself. Incredibly.
Dive and Edo, wasn't it?
You would know better than me. I don't
think,
remember.
And I know that from I've mentioned it before, my book with diagrams.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I've never seen the goal.
No, but, but you've relived it on arrows and paper.
Yeah,
and,
I think it's a diving header. Amazing. Yeah, 1-0, amazing.
Yeah, so Nottingham Forest, to be fair, in the transfer market, the season before they bought Shilton, and they had had a record at that time before Liverpool had conceded the least goals, so that transfer had paid off, $350,000 for Shilton, and then £1 million for Trevor Francis, and he wins your European Cup.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, incredible stuff. So
you made me think earlier, we need to note and probably bring up when we've got a little bit more knowledge about it, but we talked about Shilton last week being England's number one.
Yeah.
But you mentioned Ray Clements.
That's right.
And there was this vying. I don't know if you know about this. Shilton would have got way more caps if it wasn't for Ray Clements.
Ah, interesting.
So they kind of battled for the number one spot over this period, 70s, 80s. At some point, Shilton moved ahead and became the kind of established one. But yeah, I'll have a look into that, because that must have been around this time. And how many caps Shilton missed out on because Clements was there.
Which is incredible, really, because of how many caps Shilton got. How long
125.
Is he still top?
I think he is.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I think he is, because Beckham's outfield player, isn't he?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But absolutely incredible stuff that Shilton played for as long as he did, till he was in his 40s, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Like, it was just absolutely incredible.
Well, 1990, I think he started, I think he played for England in after Banks went, early 70s.
Yeah.
That's a nuts career.
That is insane. Yeah. Absolutely insane. It's basically a playing career that mirrors Sir Alex Ferguson's managerial career. Just decades change. Yeah. Like, can you imagine?
He's still here.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Incredible stuff. So something that doesn't get as much press, but I think we have touched on a previous podcast, can't remember which one, but West Bromwich Albion would sell a player to Real Madrid for £995,000. So not quite £1 million, but the same season. Do you know the player? Can you remember?
I want to say Cyril Regis.
No, but it's the same era and vein. Laurie Cunningham.
Yes.
So Cunningham was sold to Real Madrid for $5,000 short of $1 million. So I don't know if that was like a tax thing, or if there was if it's over $1 million, we have to declare something or other.
Was that before or after Francis? I don't know.
That was after, because I think this comes at the end of the season, and Trevor Francis was January.
Of course,
like
he was
halfway
through. Yeah.
Not the transfer windows end, but it was kind of halfway through the season.
Right. Okay.
But yeah, so doesn't get anywhere near as much.
He didn't do very well out there, I'm guessing, because I've never heard anything about Cunningham doing well for Madrid.
I honestly wouldn't know, actually. No. It'd be interesting to look into. I vaguely knew that Cunningham went to Real Madrid and played for them, but I don't...
So don't remember... I mean, we'll cover this a little bit, obviously, but I don't remember Madrid making many finals, as in European finals.
No, they had been obviously huge in the 50s.
Yeah, that's what I mean, 60s, yeah. But this was very much a British era.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But in terms of who we played, obviously they played... Oh, no, they didn't. That was Juventus. I was going to say they played... Liverpool played... at high school, but that was Juventus, not Madrid.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll look into that, because I'm not sure Madrid were a power,
the giants that we
force at that time. Yeah.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, we're starting to see with the £1 million player the beginnings of what I guess we can call modern football.
Yeah.
And alongside that, a groundbreaking sponsorship deal between Liverpool and Hitachi marked the first time that a professional club in the first division had a shirt sponsor.
Yeah.
So Hitachi's name was on Liverpool's jerseys in all, and they phrased it this way: all local games without televised broadcasts. So I'm assuming that's home games that weren't on TV.
Right. So they weren't allowed to wear it for...
I'm guessing, there must have been some BBC.
Obviously they did eventually, because I grew up in the era of you knew the shirt by the sponsor.
That's right, JVC for Arsenal.
Hafina. NEC.
NEC, that's a good one. That's the one I think of.
Sharp, which obviously became Sharp View Cam.
Sharp View... Oh yeah, of course, yeah.
The black kit, Sharp View Cam.
Wow, that's a good pull, that is. I'd totally forgotten about that. The deal was worth over £100,000.
I was
going to
say, how
much
was it? Wow.
So £50,000 a year. Which,
wow, nothing, is it?
No, absolutely nothing. But after that, all the top tier clubs would follow. So a couple more points. You obviously spoke a lot about Bob Latchford. So I thought it'd be good to look into the top scorer. And it was Frank Worthington. These are great English names, aren't they? At this point, he plays for Bolton. He might
have
been,
top division.
Top division.
Oh, wow.
He would score 24 goals for Bolton. But this
didn't hit the magic 30 then?
He didn't. And I wonder how many times we're actually going to see that. That'd be interesting to keep tally off. But Frank Worthington, so I didn't know anything about him way before my time, but this is interesting. Some great quotes. So I thought it'd be good to do a little bit of a deep dive. So he's described by his former manager, Ian Greaves, as the working man's George Best.
I was just about to say, yeah. That's I knew you were going to say something like that.
So the working man's George Best, Frank Worthington. It's not quite the same aura to it. But he did almost find himself playing for the champions Liverpool a couple of seasons earlier, only for it to fall through in sensational circumstances. So this is a great story. So this was a quote from a news article at the time. Worthington lived a playboy lifestyle. In 1972, he undertook a medical at Liverpool ahead of a pro's transfer to the club. On hearing that Worthington had high blood pressure, manager at the time, Bill Shankly, sent him to Mallorca for a week for health reasons. Basically, right, go and relax, yeah, chill yourself out, come back, we'll get this ticked off and you can sign.
Yeah.
Bill Shankly sent him to Mallorca. After encounters with five separate women, including a former Miss Great Britain during the break,
oh, Frank,
he returned showing higher blood pressure and the transfer fell through.
Oh, Frank.
Absolute playboy. I love it. He's gone and worked himself up into a real lava. Oh,
that's classic.
I mean, how much work have you got to put in with the five women to come back with higher blood pressure?
So as if they knew about each other.
That's true, yeah. But he, that's a really good point. The stress would drive you crazy. But amazingly, he doesn't sign for Liverpool. Think of all the silverware he could have won. But yeah, so I thought that was a great thing. So Frank Worthington has his moment in the sun, but it doesn't last. He gets his 15 minutes of fame and that's all.
15 minutes? Is that what you're giving him?
Well, he's got to get undressed and dressed. That's how it works, right?
Frank in his 15 minutes.
15-minute Frankie. So you mentioned this player taking a sharp left turn away from Frank Worthington. You mentioned this player last week. So Viv Anderson, the 22-year-old defender, becomes England's first black full international when he would appear in a 1-0 friendly win over Czechoslovakia at Wembley. So Viv Anderson, he was Forest, wasn't he? Is that why we saw him last week?
Yeah.
So he gets his full international, which is amazing. And then just two little snippets of information. Wrexham would finish 15th in the top flight this season.
Wrexham were a
top division, first division English club, which is amazing. And they would qualify for the Cup Winners' Cup.
No way.
Yeah. So obviously we talk about Wrexham having their fame and fortune now, but they were obviously a very established team back in the day. So I thought that was interesting just because of the fame they now have. And then finally, just a tiny bit of information for what I'm sure we're going to cover in about 10 years' time, but Gary Lineker would make his English League debut for Leicester City, aged 18, in a 2-0 win over Oldham.
Earlier than I thought it would be.
So he makes his debut. I think they're second division at this point, Leicester. But yeah, aged 18 in a 2-0 win over Oldham. So Gary Lineker plays his first first senior men's game in the 78-79 season.
So he was 18 in 79, right, okay.
Inevitably, Lineker will play a part in what we're going to be talking about over the coming years.
Yeah.
So yeah, just interesting to know that we're probably not going to speak about him really for a good few years.
Yeah,
Lineker bursts onto the scene. And that is the review of the 78-79 final.
Great stuff.
Okay, so it's back to you again next week, Addy. So we look forward to hearing about an entry into a new decade.